Welcome, everyone, to the Remedify Coaching Program Tools to help you start your own business podcast. Today, we're jumping into something really exciting, a powerful way for you to become an entrepreneur, especially now, you know, in the digital age. We're talking about starting your own blog. So this deep dive, what we're doing is taking a fantastic guide on how to start a blog, a really comprehensive source, and we're pulling out all the key insights, the most important stuff. Think of it as your shortcut, really, getting you up to speed fast on this topic so you feel ready to, you know, take those first steps. Our mission today, well, we want to cover everything. Finding your passion, crafting amazing content, getting it seen, and yeah, even figuring out how to make it a real business, a profitable one.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, how blogging is still so relevant? I mean, really rewarding too. Like our source material says, it's way more than just, you know, typing away. It's this incredible platform. For one thing, it's about self-expression, right? Getting your unique voice out there, sharing what you know, connecting with people globally. It can be really personal, but it's also fantastic for sharing knowledge. You can teach people, inspire them, build real connections with folks who are actively searching for what you have to offer. And this is probably key for our listeners. It's a totally viable path to making money, real income. It makes it such an accessible way for aspiring entrepreneurs to just get started, you know, regardless of background or how much cash you have up front. It's adaptable.
Okay, so let's dive in. Let's unpack this whole journey. A lot of people, I think their first thought is, okay, website design, let's write something. But the guide we're looking at, it throws a curveball, doesn't it? It insists the very first thing is choosing your niche. That feels a bit backwards to some, maybe. Why is that step one? Why is it so foundational?
That's a really great point. And yeah, the guide is smart to put that right at the beginning. It makes it super clear. This isn't just like a minor choice you make on the fly. It's the absolute bedrock. Everything else builds on this. It's all about alignment, finding that perfect match between what genuinely interests you, what you actually know something about, and what a specific group of people, your target audience, actually needs or wants to know.
Right. So it's not just what I want to write about.
Exactly. It's what you can write about consistently, with passion, with some authority. But just as important, it's what people will actually read, what they'll engage with. Get those things aligned, and that's your fuel. That's your long-term motivation right there. Think about it. When that initial excitement fades and you hit writer's block or your traffic stalls, which, let's be honest, it happens. That deep interest in your topic, that's what pulls you through. It stops it feeling like a chore and keeps it, well, sustainable. It means you won't just run out of steam or ideas after a month because you actually care about this stuff. You're learning as you go. Without nailing down that niche first, you risk ending up with a blog that just doesn't know who it's for, or worse, you lose interest yourself. It really sets the whole tone.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Passion as the engine. The guide really pushes this idea of looking inward first, introspection. It literally asks, what truly excites you? Travel, tech, cooking, personal growth. It lists a bunch. It sounds almost too simple, maybe. But how does finding that, you know, true excitement actually translate into real success for the blog later on? Is passion really enough?
Well, it's not just about making it fun, though that helps. It's actually quite strategic. Think of passion as the high-octane fuel for your blogging engine. It powers everything because, let's face it, blogging demands a lot, right?
Yeah.
Consistently creating content, talking to readers, keeping up with trends, learning new tech stuff.
It's a commitment.
It really is a big investment of time, energy, headspace. If you're not genuinely into your topic, that investment starts feeling like, well, a drag really quickly. And that leads to inconsistency. Maybe your writing feels a bit flat, not authentic, and then boom, burnout. But when you are passionate, that enthusiasm, it's infectious. It comes through in your writing and the ideas you explore. That authenticity is what builds trust. It creates a loyal following because readers can tell you genuinely care. That's what makes them come back. Passion helps you push through those inevitable tough spots like writer's block. It keeps the ideas flowing because you're always thinking about the topic anyway. And it keeps you going even when maybe the audience isn't huge right away. It lets you stay in the game long enough to actually build something. It turns potential grind into something you actually enjoy doing week after week. That's huge for consistency.
All right, so passion is definitely step one. But here's where it gets really interesting for me. The guide says passion is key, yes, but it also hammers home the need to check for market demand. It's not enough to just love, say, collecting vintage spoons. Someone else has to care too, right? So how do we balance that? How does a new blogger, maybe without fancy tools, figure out if there's actually an audience for their passion?
Yeah.
And what does market demand even mean practically?
Yeah, that's the crucial practical side of things. The guide is right to stress market demand. It's about validating your idea. It's the pragmatic check against pure passion. Think of it like this. Market demand means finding out if people are already talking about this stuff. Or, maybe more accurately, are they actively looking for answers or info related to your passion?
Okay.
You could be the world's leading expert on, I don't know, the mating habits of the Patagonian toothfish.
Right.
But if literally no one is searching for that online or joining forums about it, your amazing content isn't going to reach anyone. It's like shouting into the void.
So how do you check that
here
without like extensive software?
Well, for a newbie, it's about observation, really. Just look around online. Go to places like Reddit, Quora, Facebook groups related to your interest. What questions keep popping up? What problems are people trying to solve? Are there communities already built around these topics? If people are actively asking questions, sharing tips, looking for advice, that's your signal. That's demand.
Ah, okay. So if I love urban gardening, I'd look for people asking about like balcony composting or growing herbs indoors.
Exactly. That shows people are actively seeking information in that space. Finding that sweet spot where your genuine passion meets an existing audience need, that's where the magic happens. It ensures your blog has the potential not just to satisfy you, but to actually attract readers and grow. Especially important if you're thinking business down the line.
Right. Makes sense. Passion plus people who care. Got it. So, okay, we've nailed down the what and the who. We know our niche. We know there's an audience. Now it's time to actually build the thing, the digital home. Hmm. The guide breaks this setup part into three key pieces, which is helpful. What's the very first technical step?
Yeah, the technical side can seem intimidating, but like the guide says, it's actually much more straightforward these days. The absolute first thing you need is a blogging platform. This is basically the software you'll use to, you know, create everything, manage it, publish it. Think of it like the operating system for your blog. It runs the whole show behind the scenes.
Okay, platform. The guide mentions a few, like WordPress, Blogger, Wix. But it really flags WordPress as the most popular choice. Mm. It says it's flexible, user-friendly, huge plugin library. What makes WordPress stand out so much? Especially, you know, for someone like me who wouldn't know code from, well, anything. The guide's FAQ says no coding needed, which sounds amazing.
Oh, absolutely. WordPress has become dominant for good reason. And yeah, that no coding needed part is huge. Its flexibility means you can basically build anything. A simple personal blog,
yep.
A complex online store.
Yeah.
Also, yep, it scales incredibly well. And the user-friendly interface is a game changer. As that FAQ confirms, you really don't need to code. Modern WordPress uses visual editors, drag and drop stuff. It's very intuitive. It really opens up blogging to pretty much anyone, regardless of their tech skills. You can create something that looks professional without touching a line of code.
Wow.
And that plugin library, that's like WordPress's superpower. Plugins are like little apps for your website. Need better SEO? There's a plugin. Want fancy image galleries? Plugin. Contact forms. E-commerce. Yep. Plugins for all of that.
So you just add features easily.
Exactly. Just plug them in. It means as your blog grows and you need more features, WordPress can usually deliver without you needing to hire a developer. It makes it really future-proof and versatile. A solid choice if you're serious about building something lasting.
Okay. WordPress sounds like a strong contender. Once we've picked our platform, the guide talks about getting a domain name. It says make it catchy, relevant, and easy to remember. Why is the name itself so critical? Isn't it just the web address?
It's so much more than just an address. It's really your blog's brand identity online, your digital storefront sign. The guide stresses catchy and relevant for a reason. It's about brand recognition, memorability. Imagine trying to recommend a cool website, but the name is like long and complicated and hyphenated.
Mm.
You probably forget it, right?
Definitely.
Same for your blog. If the domain is hard to spell, hard to remember, or doesn't give a clue what it's about, people might struggle to find you again, or even understand what you do in the first place. A good domain name builds trust instantly. It looks professional. It's often the very first impression someone gets. It makes it way easier for people to share your blog, too, by word of mouth or on social media. It's a core part of your branding.
Okay, so treat the domain name seriously. It's part of the brand. Got it. And the third technical piece, .web hosting. The guide says, pick a reliable service, good performance, uptime, customer support. What do those things actually mean for a new blogger day to day? And how does this tie into the cost? The FAQs say it can range from a few bucks to hundreds.
Right. Hosting is super important because it directly impacts how people experience your blog. It's the foundation your digital house sits on. So, server performance. That's basically how fast your website loads. In today's world, people expect speed. If your blog takes ages to appear,
they leave.
Exactly. They bounce. Even a 1 or 2 second delay can seriously hurt. So good performance means a fast, smooth experience for your visitors. Uptime is just, is your blog actually online and available? You want a host that guarantees high uptime, meaning your site is almost never down. Imagine a shop that randomly closes, frustrating.
Yeah, not good.
And customer support. That's your safety net. When something inevitably goes wrong, maybe a plugin breaks something or you have a question good, responsive support is invaluable, especially when you're starting out.
Okay. And the cost connection. Yeah. Why the big range?
Well, the cost varies mainly based on the type of hosting and the resources you need. Shared hosting, where you share server resources with other websites, is super cheap, often just a few dollars a month, perfect for beginners. As your blog gets way more traffic, you might need to upgrade to something more powerful, like a VPS or even a dedicated server, and those cost more. But the key, as the FAQ implies, is you start with what you need now. Don't overspend initially. Pick a reliable, basic plan from a good provider. Good hosting is basically an investment in your reader's experience and the stability of your site. It's crucial infrastructure.
All right, so we've got the technical foundation sorted,
mm-hmm.
platform, domain, hosting. The engine room is built, but now we need to make it look good. The guide shifts to the visual identity, the design. It says this is key for attracting and keeping readers. It's not just about looking pretty, is it? Why is the visual side so important?
Oh, absolutely not just pretty. The visual appeal is often the very first impression someone gets. It happens instantly, subconsciously even. Think about walking into a physical shop. If it's messy, badly lit, disorganized, you might just walk out, right? Even if the products are great.
Yeah.
Your blog's the same. The design communicates professionalism, trustworthiness, even relevance to your topic, all before someone reads a single word. Mm. It's like the handshake. Good design also helps guide the reader, makes content easier to find, easier to read, more enjoyable to consume. It directly impacts how long people stay, how much they explore, and if they decide to come back. A cluttered, ugly, or confusing design that just creates friction, frustration, people leave. Good design invites them in, makes them comfortable, reinforces your brand. It's huge for retention.
Okay, design matters.
Yeah.
A lot. So the guide suggests starting by choosing a theme. It says pick one that's well-designed, complements your niche, and importantly, is responsive. Seamless experience across devices. What exactly does responsive mean here, and why is that specific feature so critical today?
Responsive is absolutely key. What it means is that your blog's layout automatically adapts to fit whatever screen size someone is using. So whether they're on a huge desktop monitor, a laptop, a tablet, or just their smartphone, your blog looks good and works properly. The text is readable, images resize, menus adjust.
Ah, okay, so it works well on phones.
Exactly, and that's critical because most people browse the web on their phones now, like a huge percentage of traffic.
Right.
If your site isn't responsive, on a phone it might look tiny, broken, impossible to navigate. People have to pinch and zoom constantly. It's a terrible experience.
Yeah, I hate that.
Everyone does, they'll just leave. A responsive theme ensures everyone has a good experience no matter the device. It makes your content accessible, easy to read, easy to interact with. It shows you care about the user experience. It's not really optional anymore, it's fundamental.
Okay, responsive theme, non-negotiable.
Mm.
Then the guide says, even with a theme, you should personalize it. Layout, colors, fonts, typography, for consistent branding. These sound like smaller details, maybe, like choosing curtains. How much do these really contribute to a strong blog identity?
They might seem small, but think about big, successful brands. They have consistent logos, colors, packaging, right? You instantly recognize them. It's the same idea for your blog. These visual elements work together to create your unique visual language, your brand identity. It's not just about aesthetics. It's about professionalism and recognition. Your layout affects how easily people digest information. Is it clean, intuitive, or confusing? Your color scheme sets a mood. It evokes emotion. Think bright colors for travel. Maybe blues and grays for finance to signal trust.
Mm-hmm.
And typography, your font choices, impacts readability, sure. But also the overall tone. Is it formal, playful, modern? When you choose these elements thoughtfully and use them consistently everywhere on your homepage and your posts, on social media, maybe you build recognition. It makes your blog feel polished, professional, distinct. People start to recognize your look. It builds familiarity and trust. It makes you stand out.
Okay, we've covered a ton already. Those crucial first steps for setting up your blog. Finding that passion, making sure there's an audience, getting the text sorted, and making it look good. But remember, folks, this is just one, albeit powerful, tool in your toolkit for starting your own business. To discover even more amazing business tools, resources, and expert strategies that can really help you launch and grow your venture, you absolutely need to visit www.pnmoneymaking.com. Head over there right now. That's www.10pnmoneymaking.com. Your go-to hub for business success. Don't miss out. All right, so the stage is set. The blog looks good. It works well. Now, the guide dives into the absolute heart of it all, the content. It uses the word compelling. What actually makes content compelling today? There's so much stuff out there. And maybe more importantly for many listeners, how does someone who maybe doesn't have a writing background develop that skill? The FAQs tackle this, which is great.
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, right? And it's true. Content is king. It's why people come, why they stay, why they come back. Compelling content. It goes beyond just being informative. It has to resonate. It needs to connect with the reader. It could educate, entertain, inspire. Maybe most powerfully, it solves a real problem for them. It offers genuine value. It's well-researched, but also engaging to read.
Okay, but how do you learn to write like that if you're not, you know, a writer?
That's where the FAQ is so encouraging. It flat out says,
yeah,
you can absolutely start a blog without prior writing experience. Seriously, that's a huge barrier removed for people.
Yeah, that's good to hear.
The key isn't innate talent, it's practice, consistency, effort. Just like any other skill, really. You don't become a great musician without practicing scales, right? Same with writing. Start simple. Focus on being clear. Get your message across. Don't worry about being perfect right away. Experiment a bit. Try different approaches. Your unique voice will start to emerge over time. You'll figure out what works for you and your audience. Every great blogger started somewhere, often just by writing consistently and learning as they went. Your perspective is valuable. The polish comes with practice.
Okay, practice makes, well, better anyway. So the guide also talks about planning your content, having a strategy. It suggests outlining a plan, having regular posting schedules, knowing your topics, even using target keywords. Why is that strategic approach so important? Can't you just write when inspiration strikes? And what exactly are target keywords? The FAQs also mention a posting frequency goal.
You could write only where inspired, but that often leads to inconsistency. And consistency is vital for building an audience. A content strategy is like your roadmap. It keeps you on track. It ensures you're regularly putting out valuable stuff. Having a schedule helps your audience know when to expect new content. It builds anticipation and loyalty. And yeah, the FAQs give a great starting point. Aim for at least one post per week. That consistency signals you're serious and reliable.
Okay, one post a week. Manageable. What about those keywords?
Right, target keywords. Basically, these are the words or phrases your ideal reader is actually typing into Google or other search engines. They're searching for answers or information related to your niche. By figuring out what those keywords are and then naturally including them in your posts, you help search engines understand what your content is about.
Ah, so Google knows who to show it to.
Exactly. It connects your content with the people actively looking for it. So if you blog about, say, budget travel, your keywords might be cheap flights Europe, hostel packing list, travel hacking tips. Planning your content around these topics people are searching for makes your blog much more discoverable. It drives relevant traffic.
Got it. So plan topics people search for, use the keywords, post consistently. The guide then talks about the writing itself, making posts captivating. It specifically mentions using storytelling and relevant examples. Why are those techniques so effective? Why not just list the facts?
Because facts tell, but stories sell. Well, not literally sell, always, but they connect. Humans are wired for narrative. Think about it. Information presented as a story is just way more memorable, more relatable, more engaging than a dry list of points.
Sure.
When you weave in a personal story, a case study, even a relatable example, you make the information come alive. You create an emotional connection. It helps the reader see themselves in the situation, understand the concept on a deeper level. It makes abstract ideas tangible.
Like illustrating a point.
Precisely. Relevant examples make things concrete. If you're explaining a complex process, showing a real-world example makes it click. It bridges that gap between theory and practice. Using stories and examples transforms your blog from just an information source into an experience. It makes your content sticky, memorable, shareable. People remember how you made them feel, how you helped them understand. That builds a much stronger connection than just data dumps.
Okay, so compelling content is planned, consistent, uses keywords, and tells stories with examples. We've got great content now. But, as the guide points out, just having it isn't enough. You need to get the word out. Promotion. What are the best ways to actually attract readers once the blog is live and filled with this awesome content?
Yeah, this is where many bloggers stumble. They create great stuff, but forget the build it and they will come. Idea rarely works online. You have to actively promote. Think of it like you baked an amazing cake. Now you need to tell people about it so they come and have a slice. The guide highlights a couple of really effective strategies for this.
First up, social media. The guide says use it to promote posts, engage with the audience, build that following. But there are so many platforms. It feels like you could spend all day just on social. How do you do it effectively without getting totally overwhelmed?
That's a super valid concern. The key is definitely not trying to be everywhere. That's a recipe for burnout. The strategy is to figure out where your specific audience actually hangs out online. Are they on Instagram, LinkedIn, Pinterest, TikTok, Facebook groups?
Okay, so focus.
Focus. Do a little research. Where are the conversations happening in your niche? Pick one or two key platforms to start with and really engage there. And engage is the key word. Don't just drop links to your posts and run. Share interesting snippets, ask questions, respond to comments, join conversations in relevant groups, be part of the community.
So it's about interaction, not just broadcasting.
Exactly. Provide value even outside your blog posts. Share other people's useful content too. Become a known, helpful voice in your niche. Use relevant hashtags wisely to help people find you.
Yeah.
But yeah, the goal is genuine connection and community building on the platforms where your audience lives. That drives traffic and loyalty.
Okay, focus on the right platforms, engage genuinely. Makes sense. The guide also mentions guest blogging. Collaborating with other bloggers, writing posts for their sites. How does writing for someone else actually help your blog? Seems like a powerful strategy, like a two-for-one deal.
It really is a fantastic symbiotic strategy, a definite two-for-one, maybe even three-for-one punch. First, when you guest post on an established blog in your niche, you get immediate access to their audience. These are people already interested in your topic.
Instant exposure to the right crowd.
Exactly. It's highly targeted exposure you might not get otherwise, especially when you're new. You're borrowing their platform and their audience's attention for a moment. Second, it massively boosts your credibility. Being published on a respected site is like getting a stamp of approval. It tells readers, hey, this person knows their stuff.
Right. Builds authority fast.
Definitely. It positions you as an expert much quicker than just writing on your own site. And third, usually your guest post includes an author bio with a link back to your own blog. This drives relevant, engaged traffic directly to you.
Oh, nice. New readers who are already interested.
Precisely. So the host blog gets great content. You get exposure, credibility, and targeted traffic. Plus, you build relationships with other bloggers. It's a win-win-win.
Guest blogging sounds like a really smart move. Okay. So we've covered building the blog, creating content, promoting it. Now, the business side. Monetization. The guide is clear. Once you have traction, an audience, you can explore making money from it. So the big question, can blogging really be a significant source of income? Or is it more like a hobby that might make a few bucks on the side?
That's the exciting part for many people. And the answer, based on the guide and countless real-world examples, is absolutely yes. The FAQs specifically state blogging serves both personal and professional goals. And yes, many bloggers earn significant income.
So it absolutely can be a serious business. It often starts as a passion, sure, but with the right strategies, consistent effort, and a growing audience, it can definitely become a substantial income stream, even a full-time career for many.
Okay, so how? The guide mentions displaying ads first, using networks like Google AdSense. How does that actually work? And what should a blogger think about before plastering ads all over their site? Are there downsides? Yeah, ads are often one of the first monetization methods people try because they're relatively passive once set up. Basically, you sign up with an ad network like AdSense. They give you some code to put on your site. Then the network automatically displays ads in designated spots on your pages. These ads are usually relevant to your content or the visitor's interests. You earn money when people click the ads, CPC, or sometimes just when they see them, CPM.
Seems easy enough. What's the catch?
The catch is balance. You need to balance earning money with the user experience. Too many ads that are super intrusive, like aggressive pop-ups or ads that slow down your site, that can really annoy your readers.
Right, drive people away.
Exactly. It can hurt your reputation and make people leave. So you need to be thoughtful about how many ads you show, where you place them, and what types of ads they are. You want them to be as unobtrusive as possible, relevant, and not ruin the reading experience. It's often about testing and tweaking to find what works best for revenue without sacrificing user trust. Your readers always come first.
Okay, ads require careful balance. What about affiliate marketing? The guide mentions that too. Promoting products or services related to your niche. How does that work effectively? And crucially, how do you do it without seeming like you're just trying to sell stuff all the time, keeping that audience trust?
Affiliate marketing can be incredibly effective, and yeah, trust is absolutely paramount here. How it works is you recommend products or services you like and that fit your niche. You use special tracking links called affiliate links. If a reader clicks your link and buys the product, you earn a commission from the company selling it. You're essentially earning a finder's fee for referring a customer.
Okay.
The absolute key to doing this ethically and keeping trust is authenticity. You should only promote things you genuinely use, believe in, and would recommend even if you weren't getting paid.
So only stuff you actually like and think is valuable for your audience.
Exactly. Your recommendations need to be honest and helpful. If you start recommending junk just for a commission, your audience will see right through it and you'll lose their trust instantly. Transparency is also vital. You need to clearly disclose that you're using affiliate links. It's often legally required anyway, but it's also just good practice.
Be upfront about it.
Yep. When you do it right, recommending genuinely useful stuff you believe in, being transparent, your audience sees you as a trusted resource, not just a salesperson. Your recommendations actually provide value, helping them solve problems or make good choices. That strengthens the relationship and makes the monetization feel natural and ethical.
Wow. Okay, we've covered so much ground today, an amazing deep dive. We went all the way from finding that initial spark, your passion, your niche, making sure people care, to building the actual blog, the platform, the design, then crafting that compelling content, telling stories, getting the word out through social media and guest blogging, and finally exploring how to actually turn it into a business with ads and affiliate marketing. It really shows that blogging isn't just, you know, a hobby. It's a serious, rewarding path to entrepreneurship.
Absolutely. And throughout it all, the guide keeps coming back to those core ideas, doesn't it? Consistency is huge. Posting regularly, keeping the quality up. Audience engagement, it's a conversation, not a lecture. You need to interact, listen, build that community, and continuous evolution. The online world changes fast. You got to keep learning, adapting, keeping things fresh so your blog stays relevant and valuable. Those are really the pillars, aren't they? Consistency, engagement, evolution, nail those, and you're on the right track for long-term success.
It really is more than just writing. It's this whole dynamic journey of sharing and connection. So as you, our listener, reflect on all this, what's that unique perspective you have? What passion burns inside you? What problem could you help people solve? What story are you waiting to tell? And how will you keep evolving it to make your mark online? Something to think about. Okay, before we wrap up, please remember this deep dive is just one tool, one piece of the puzzle on your entrepreneurial journey. We really want to equip you for success in every way possible. So for more fantastic business tools, expert resources, and practical strategies designed to help you kickstart and grow your own business, you absolutely have to visit www.pnmoneymaking.com. Seriously, head over there now. That's www.typnmoneymaking.com. It's packed with value. And also, don't forget to check out the episode description. We always put extra resources there, links to help you start your business, but also, importantly, resources to help you take care of your health while you're building your dream, because that's crucial too.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Remedify Coaching Program Tools to help you start your own business podcast. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.